money. I feel real loose like a long neck blues like a... This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with U.S. Naval Retired Intelligence Officer Deke Cox. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash, as well as an anonymous sponsor. And good morning, Deke.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, everyone out there in Radio Land. Happy holidays. Good to be joining you here after Christmas as we get ready for the New Year's Eve celebrations this weekend. Hope you guys are have more family time planned and, you know, getting together with friends and family. It's the weather's beautiful here on the Eastern Shore, and, you know, get out and enjoy it. So, title of today's show is the 2023 Year Ender and the Look Ahead. Axes to grind, right? So, you know, I try to be, we try to be mindful here that, you know, we're not, you know, we don't turn into grievance grinders, you know, which is easy to do given what's going on in the world today. But, you know, when we look at what's going on in the news, and just overnight we got another notice that another state, another blue state, is trying to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. And, you know, we expect that to intensify here over the next couple of months because the March 5th primary draws near. That's really one of the big events coming up early in the new year. And it's, you know, it's closer than we think. You know, it's early March, so just a few weeks away. And when we look at what these Democrats are doing and the leftists are doing in, you know, any number of states, it's interesting because Colorado really wasn't, you know, Biden won Colorado by what, 14 points, you know, in 2020. And he, you know, there was no reason for Colorado to actually take that action. It's been pretty much a safe blue state for the last couple election cycles. And so when we actually sit down and we take a look at why, you know, what motivated, who was behind the ballot push, you know, to remove Donald Trump from the ballot in Colorado, you know, you have to understand that they were nothing more than a legal test balloon to open up the legal argument and begin paving the way for these other blue states like Maine, which is the one that happened overnight, to, you know, also attempt to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. So this is about as un-American as it gets. And when we look at what actually is behind it, it's nothing more than politics and you know, pure hatred of one man. But the American people get the final vote, as they should, you know, per the Constitution. And it's very interesting because Donald Trump has not broken any law. He's never been convicted. He's not a convicted felon, even though they're trying very hard in Georgia and other states, you know, with the multiple trials, New York and others. It's very clear that all of this is politically motivated and that there are no real criminal grounds behind the charges. Go ahead, Lori.
Can it be reversed?
So what's interesting this past week on the Colorado case is that the Supreme Court accepted the appeal. And so the Supreme Court gets to have the final say, the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, and this is after the Colorado Supreme Court, with four Democrats, voted to remove him from the ballot. So it's interesting because it has been appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has accepted the case to hear the case. They are going to hear it here in the next month or so. And, you know, and again, we don't know how that's going to go because we've got woke appointees appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they've had some very questionable rulings, you know, just in the last couple of years during the COVID era. So there, you know, there's no real, you know, you'd like to be able to predict it, but when you actually sit down and you look at, you know, how that's going to go, it's clear in the Constitution, it's clear in the law, you know, for anybody to read. And, you know, I'm not a judge, I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but it seems very clear. And what's more important is that when the U.S. Supreme Court accepted this to hear this case on appeal this past week, immediately the Secretary of State and the state of Colorado said that Donald Trump's name was back on the ballot and would remain so until some other higher court ruling. So it's interesting just to see how it goes back and forth. But it never, you know, I mean, Lori, it never should have been there in the first place, right? You know,
exactly.
I mean, he's not a convicted felon. He's former president, and by all means, as more and more information and data come out, it's very clear that he should still be sitting in the presidency. You know, number 45, he never should have been forced out of office. You know, he had nothing to do. He did not lead an insurrection. It's just unbelievable when you look at the political maneuverings to remove that one man off the board. It's I don't know that we've ever seen anything like it in the history of this nation, and it needs to be fixed. But you know, so when we look at the year ahead, that's certainly coming up quick, as the Supreme Court appeal for Donald Trump on the ballot in Colorado, but they're not going to give up there. They're trying to convict him of made up crimes under statutes that do not apply in, like we said, in Georgia and in New York, and then when we look at ballot initiatives where they're trying to remove him off the ballot, you know, it's active in no less than half a dozen states. And so we've heard from Colorado and Maine. California Secretary of State last week came out and also said that she was looking and examining at all possible avenues to remove Donald Trump from the ballot in California. And so it's just, he's the Teflon Don, as they say, and he needs to be, because this is a never-ending fight, and I'm not sure that anybody else could withstand it if they were not Donald Trump.
And by the way, isn't it true that there is nothing in the Constitution that prevents someone who has been charged or convicted from serving as president?
That's true. And so, you know, where they're trying to apply the 14th Amendment, it just doesn't stand. You know, their argument has no legal merit, and you know, he's not a convicted felon or a criminal.
But even if he were, he can still president.
Absolutely. So that's our headliner for today, as far as the first axe to grind as we go into the new year, is just that, you know, my trusty sidekick Judd is not here today, Judd Blakely, but he is. He's got a good saying, you know, which is, you know, we're in a life and death battle, you know, and it's a full 15 rounds if it ends then, you know, with the left. And it's very clear that the left, as we enter year five of COVID tyranny and censorship, that the left has decided that conservative voices and centrist voices don't matter. Constitutionalist voices don't matter. And if... you know, it really boils down to the First Amendment, you know, protections on free speech, Lori. And if we, you know, we as conservatives, we as constitutionalists and traditionalists, if we do not stand up and begin asserting our rights vocally, forcefully, you know, we could easily lose this battle or lose even more battles than we've lost already. It's criminal what the radical left is doing, where they so despise any other voice than their own that they would silence you, you know. And that is the ultimate indication that if your opposition doesn't even care to listen to you, you've got real problems. You know, they this is how we end up with mothers and children on cattle cars going to extermination camps, which nearly happened back in late 2021 and early 22. It probably, if not for the trucker strike and the truckers' convoy up in Ottawa, Canada, and very strong protest in Europe, where we had millions of people in the street protesting against, you know, COVID passports, COVID vaccine passports, and digital IDs, and just the rampant tyranny that was, you know, running amok. And, you know, as we sit back, you know, here at the end of the year, Lori, it's an opportunity to look back and kind of gauge where we are. And what's interesting is that here in America, and certainly here in Alabama, you know, we like to pride ourselves and think that we're champions of freedom and democracy and you know, the constitutional republic, and that we know, you know, about our Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But what's very interesting, folks, and I would just invite reflection on this, is that other people are doing a lot more than we are to fight back and push back against this tyranny. And the tyranny is not, you know, we, you know, the tyranny has not been beaten. It's, you know, we push back, they come back you know, again and again and again. And so when we look at what's going on with the 2024 election, it is, you know, we hear people say this all the time, but I really do believe that it's one of the most consequential elections in the history of this country that's in front of us. And it, you know, it starts, like I said, you know, on March 5th with the primaries, but it's, you know, there are some people who don't even think that we'll get to the election in November because of the economy. And absolutely.
What do you mean not get to
that's
the
right,
election?
Not, well, so when we look at the economy, and this is a interesting segue here, when we look at the Fed balance sheet, for instance, you know, the Fed balance sheet just hit a deep point that we've never seen before. And it is remarkable in that they're carrying, on their balance sheet right now, they are carrying over $130 billion in debt just from the bank failures this year.
Just from the bank failures this year.
That's right. Just from the bank failures
the,
this
the
year.
The overall debt is trillions.
It is. Well, it's $34 trillion, but the challenge is, and you know, the chart, and I'm showing it to Laurie, folks, but you can see, you know, the chart is crazy at how precipitous it is on the Fed balance sheet. Mm. The Fed is not supposed to carry this kind of debt, okay? And it is unbelievable that they're, you know, that we're just blowing past $130 billion on the Fed balance sheet in the red, and nobody is talking about this and the consequences that certainly are impending, you know, that are going to impinge the U.S. economy in 2024.
And that's just a fraction of the Ukrainian contributions.
It is. Well, what's interesting is that, you know, there's the Ukraine has been nothing more than a gross exercise in money laundering, and it's also part of the effort. You know, where, you know, you've got NATO talking about sending in troops. I mean, the UK overnight was, you know, their foreign minister, you know, was talking about literally mobilizing British troops to go into the Ukraine to fight on behalf of NATO. And you know, Vladimir Putin has provided several warnings to us about that. Now, we're not going to go down that road right now, because that's the other black swan event that could happen at any time. You know, the world, you know, is sitting, as we sit here and look in reflection on the year past and the year to come, it's one of the black swan events. We just talked about, you know, this unbelievable alarm bell ringing off the Fed's balance sheet, and the fact that there are major bank consolidations coming, you know, probably by the end of 24. And so this goes back to, Laurie, your point, or your question about, you know, why we might not get to the November election, right? So this isn't fear mongering, okay? And you know that I don't engage in that anyway, but it's just, we have to look at the reality of what's in front of us, and the fact that all of this has been planned and engineered, okay? Joe Biden usurps the highest office in the land in 2020 with lots of helpers, and then elections continue to be compromised, and now we've got people in government who are not representing the will of the people, and they are absolutely hard at work and tearing down this country. And you know, you can't look at what's going on in the Fed with $130 billion in the red and not understand that, you know, that there's a, you know, probably a bigger round of bank failures coming in 24. A massive asset bubble is building, and it spells real trouble for the U.S. economy ahead, in addition to some of the things that we've already discussed on this show in previous editions, and that is the continued disruption in the U.S. dollar, with more and more major brokers and countries in the world opting to go to the BRICS currency or to the ruble or another currency, you know, other than the dollar, to settle their trades, especially their energy trades. And that's a real problem, because when we have fewer countries using the U.S. dollar, then we, you know, then our standard of living eventually is going to take that hit. And we might not feel it until the June Treasury auctions come up for the, you know, for the Fed. And China has been making up a lot of that excess for decades now. They've been buying more and more debt, but here in the last year to 2 years, they've been relieving themselves of that and purchasing fewer and fewer U.S. debt vehicles. And so it's very, when we look at these things lining up, you know, bank failures and the Fed being deeply, deeply in the red at $130 billion negative on its balance sheet and getting worse every day. When we look at interest on the U.S. debt, where we're adding roughly $1 trillion to our deficit every quarter now, which is completely unsustainable. You know, we're now blowing past $34 trillion in U.S. debt. You know, all of these things taken in context are unsustainable. And so the big black swan event in front of us, of course, that is going to deeply, potentially, you know, and I don't see any way that we get around it, you know, before the end of the year, Lori, but, you know, by the end of the year, I think that there's a major black swan event coming in the economy, and that's going to absolutely eat up many, many Americans in ways that we haven't seen in a long time. And it's a horrible thing to contemplate. And, you know, our representatives are certainly aware of it. We had Congressman Barry Moore in a few weeks ago, and he spoke about it. And, you know, they're certainly aware of it. And you know, I think, you know, one of his comments, you know, towards the end of that interview was that it's really the number one issue in front of us right now. You know, they've got to fix the interest problem and the inflation problem that's driving our debt, and they've got to get spending under control. He said it at the beginning of that interview, and he emphasized it again towards the end. And it's, you know, we're going to see 2024 is going to be a consequential year, not just because of the elections, but because of the work that must now be done. You know, we've kicked the can down the road for so long, Lori, that it's inconceivable that the United States and the United States Treasury and the Fed can continue on this path. It's unsustainable. There is absolutely no way we get through 2024 without major structural changes, and it's probably going to be forced upon us by crisis, you know, financial crises, just like it was back in 2008. And there are a lot of people walking around right now, you know, with their head in the sand. They don't want to talk about it, or they're just not informed. And it's because of the mainstream media. You know, if you turn on MSNBC or one of the financial channels, you know, there's certainly discussion in detail, but most people don't watch that. You know, most people certainly walking around here, you know, we're just trying to live our day-to-day lives. And so what I would encourage all of you within the sound of my voice, you know, is get smart on these issues, you know, get current on them, and do contact our delegations, our U.S. delegation, our senators, and make sure that we're tracking and that they understand that you know, that we are very keen on this issue, and, you know, we want to understand, you know, what their plan is to go back in chambers, and whether it's in committee or whether it's on an open vote, to be able to, you know, forestall or delay or prevent a massive train wreck that otherwise is coming our way in the economy. And so, you know, that's the first call to action, folks, is, you know, contact those elected representatives and, you know, get current with them on what they are doing on our behalf, because this has a potential to force mass bankruptcies, to, you know, just absolutely wreck the U.S. economy, and it's severe and getting worse. So that's the other axe to grind. So it's a severe one, right? It's very important, because we're all concerned about our ability to provide for our families.
Yes. So you're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Show, hosted by retired U.S. Naval Intelligence Officer Deke Cox here on WABF.
So, folks, as we talk about the economic data, you know, and playing off of our theme last week, which is, you know, so just beware more large falling objects ahead, and this one much more severe than pilots suffering heart attacks midair. You know, the economy certainly is, you know, the largest falling object that we've got to be aware of, and we need to be in tune with what's going on there, and again, encouraging our representatives to forestall a major train wreck, which, you know, by the looks of it, it could be worse than 2008. So, again, encourage everyone to get engaged on that. Okay, so coming up in January, on a bright note, we're looking forward to hosting the mayor of Orange Beach here in the studio, Mr. Tony Kennan. Many of you are familiar with him. He's done great things down in Orange Beach, very popular mayor. And he's going to be joining us to talk about Orange Beach tourism, but then also in the vein of school choice, the very interesting solution that the citizens of Orange Beach have provided to themselves to basically run their own school system in the city of Orange Beach. They withdrew from Baldwin County Schools a couple years ago, and so Tony Kennan, Mayor Kennan, is going to give us an update on that. And man, I tell you, that is something that I'm really looking forward to, because oftentimes, folks, we sit around and we talk about, we complain, right? Everybody does it, even though, I know we all try to remain positive, but we can't look at what's been going on here in Baldwin County, certainly in the COVID era, and not understand how deeply compromised our public school system is by the socialist Marxist teachers unions and just their extremely negative effect on our children's education in the public forum. And so, not everyone can afford a private school, and the public, the public school domain is critical. It's an absolute linchpin in how, the majority of Americans and certainly us here in Baldwin County, how we educate our children and the next generation. It's an issue that we must address. It can't. That's another can that can't be kicked down the road. And yet here we have examples right here in Baldwin County, of a city, an incorporated city that actually reclaimed their own oversight on their education. And they're still public, but they're a city school system. And so it's going to be interesting just to sit down with Mayor Kennan and talk with him about, Orange Beach's journey on what led them to it. And you can bet that it centered around taxes and the fact that they weren't getting a return on their tax dollar that they were given to Baldwin County Board of Education, and that they probably felt that they could do a lot better with it. And from every indication that I've seen, just looking at Orange Beach and the progress that they've made, is that they're doing a good job. And so maybe some notes and pages that we need to take and learn from their experience and maybe improve upon it and see if we can continue to offer diversity and more ownership for parents and in our local communities. It's part of the solution and one that's sitting right here in front of us, and maybe many of us haven't been looking at too hard. So anyway, Mayor Tony Kennan coming in with us in January, and that's going to be a great interview. And then a couple other good interviews on tap as well. So that's a good one. The other thing I wanted to kind of start on today is, and continue on in our discussion, is the word this week that came in from, it was a FOIA release, a Freedom of Information request that came out of Westchester County, New York. And they had FOIA'd the EMS records from 2021. And it's very interesting to see what was actually in the medical technicians' logs during the time of the COVID vaccine rollout. And so they actually FOIA'd these records from 2020 and before to have a reference point. But then, as we all know, we're at 3 years on the mark this month from the initial rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. And so it was of interest when Dr. Pierre Corey came out and talked about this week. And it's very interesting as we look at this, because there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever at this point that the medical community, meaning hospitals, from EMTs, because it's interesting, we always want to look at Fauci down, from the top of the pyramid down, but we don't often, and I think a lot of people have been walking around wondering who knew what and how deep did it go. And so when we go and we look at this Freedom of Information request that was answered out of Westchester County EMS, and we read through these EMS logs, it's very, very clear that all the way down to the first responders, they knew something wasn't right. And so New York and Connecticut, heavily vaccinated areas, they were running in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s in their compliance. And the number of calls that these EMS, these ambulance services had to be on standby at vaccination clinics, for instance.
Wow.
Okay. Like the vaccination clinics, the nurses and the providers that were running these vaccination clinics, that they were so specific that they would say, we're scheduled, we're fully booked today with, for instance, 200 or 220 appointments to administer the COVID-19 vaccine. We request an ambulance on location to handle adverse events. And so, you know, this removes a lot of the mystery that had surrounded, you know, like who knew what, and it really takes away any argument whatsoever that, you know, or any defense that many of these people would have that they just didn't know what was going on. And now it doesn't mean, and I want to be clear about this, it doesn't mean that the nurses or the EMS technicians were complicit, but the example that I would give is, I mean, Lori, it would be like us being neighbors and I see an assassin standing outside your door or outside a bush getting ready to ambush you, and I don't warn you.